Someone want to come say hello? Can you say hi? Can you say hi? We'll see. She's like, I'm not sure I'm going to perform well. Can you guys all say hi to her? Can you say hi? Hi. Okay. All right. You want to, oh, can you finger? Wait. There it is. All right. We want to grab her? All right. Go to mama. All right. That's Aurora. Give it up for Aurora. Where's the dads at, real quick? Wave your hand if you're a dad. Wave them high. Okay, there we go. All right, now I see you. So I'm happy to be here. This is exciting because this is my first time ever preaching on a Sunday morning. So you're welcome. There's that. I'm excited about it. It's going to be great. You're going to have a good time. I'm going to have a good time. I'm not nearly as nervous as my voice sounds. So I just want to welcome again the dads, and can we give it up for the dads one more time? Welcome. We're honored that you're here. You're part of this church, and you know, just like you got to see, I'm a new dad. This is a new thing for me, which basically means I have no idea what I'm doing. Any other dads still feel like that? Oh, it doesn't get any better? I literally thought, like, okay, after a year, I'll probably have a couple of things together. But I don't. So you just met Aurora, but I'm going to throw another photo on the screen here. So this is Aurora. She just turned one in April. And we love her. She's just such a joy. Look at this character, man. She's hilarious. And I want to throw up the next photo here, not of my dad, because he's going to be... This is my dad, by the way. He's coming in the next service. I was going to throw him under the bus with that. But this is our first family photo. I love the first. This is a year of firsts. You know what I'm saying? And this is our first family photo together. I love this moment. Notice how beautiful Amy looks and how torn up I look. It's like, hey, who had the baby, man? Like, I was a mess. I was a mess. I was just in tears, and she was just so strong. She can't hear me say this because she's dropping baby off, but she was so strong. I was so proud of her. I can't wait to do it again. Plug. So, and the thing is we tried to prep as much as we possibly could. When it comes to baby, you can only prep so much. That's what I hear. But, you know, we were at Target every single day. We're trying to find out, you know, okay, what do we need? What does baby need in the first year of life? Okay, what do we need? What's this? You know, we tried to prep our house. We prepped her room. You know, we even tried to read all of the books necessary. Actually, scratch that. We read zero books. We watched 100 YouTube tutorials on how to be great parents and how to be prepared. But the first night, can you put the photo up again with... Our first photo. The first night, I remember this so vividly because, you know, as a dad, you're here. I'm gonna complain for a moment. I mean, let's just put aside the fact that Amy had a baby. But I was having such a hard time falling asleep in the hospital. Do you know any dads know that one little pull-out bed? You know, it's just the worst ever. You know, so uncomfortable. But I was slowly starting to fall asleep, slowly starting to close my eyes, and I couldn't let myself go to sleep. This is a weird thing, because I kept, like, opening my eyes, like, is she still breathing? Okay, she's still breathing. Go to sleep. Try to open again. I'm like, I felt like that one song, I don't want to close my eyes. I don't want to fall asleep, because I missed you, baby. All of the Christian people don't know that song, of course, but... Don't want to miss a thing. So, by the way, real quick, I'm not usually doing this. I said this is my first time. I'm usually singing, so we had to just drop in a line of singing here and there. But I remember this moment of, like, trying to just fall asleep, finally fall asleep, and I wake up to the baby screaming, just yelling. And I'm like, what is happening? I think it's, like, the worst thing. I'm like, shouldn't there be, like, red flashing lights? Like, what's happening? And Amy's like, I think she just needs a diaper change, you know? And I'm like, okay. So I go to change the diaper, and I've changed diapers before, but I've never changed my precious daughter's diaper, her first diaper ever, you know? And so I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much pressure right now. I'm feeling just so much pressure in this. And she starts crying, and I have no idea. And it's not one of these like simple goo goo gaga, but like it's a wail. And she's shaking, and she's so, you know, upset. And I'm like, what's going on? I broke her. Like, call the nurses in. Like, we have to fix this. I have no idea what's happening. All the parents with multiple kids are like, yeah, you got it. You're okay. You're going to be all right. But I was so nervous, and I actually, maybe because I was sleep deprived, like I started tearing up. I started crying because I'm like, I have no idea what to do to help this girl. All she needed was a diaper change. It's hilarious. But I just remember these moments, actually, you know, where I'm like, you know what? Like, God, I don't know what I'm doing as a dad. Like, shoot, like, I don't think I'm ready to be a dad. Any other dads were like that? I was like, I don't think I'm ready. Like, I'm not prepared for this. And so there was these constant moments where I'm like, I'm realizing, okay, I have what I know, but there's also things that I don't know. There's this gap between what I know and what I don't know, what I have and what I don't have, what she needs and what, you know, and who I was. And, you know, as prepared as you can be as a new dad, as new parents, I learned this lesson that nothing can prepare you for life's lessons like life's lessons. Can I get an amen? But, you know, for me, this was a really painful thing where I began to wrestle with this gap that I was facing, these doubts that I was starting to believe about myself. You know, I began to question a lot of things. You know, when the problem that you're facing reveals like a deeper dilemma, you know, that's been operating in the background, that's what was going on. I began asking myself this question, like, what do I do when I don't have what it takes? What do I do when I don't have what it takes? You know, in this room, we have just a huge variety of people from all over, different walks of life, different ages. We have some moms, we have some dads, we have some students, some grads, right? But here's the thing. We all face gaps in life. We all face inadequacies. We all face weaknesses and those deeper dilemmas that are operating in the background. And it causes us to, you know, question things and even, you know, cause us to doubt ourselves. And for you, I don't know what your dilemmas are. I don't know what doubts are crossing your mind. I don't know what gaps you're faced with today. You know, maybe, you know, for someone there's a financial gap. You're like, I'm just trying to make ends meet and I'm not seeing how this is going to work. I need like a literal miracle. Maybe your gap is something relational. Maybe, you know, you have a child that you're trying to like just bridge the gap, but you just can't seem to make that connection. There's always something that there's some kind of division. Maybe you're, you know, in this room and you have sickness in your body, you know, and you're like, maybe you're a Christian and you're like, God, I know you're my healer. You're my healer, but can you do it now? Like, there's this tension, there's this gap, there's this moment of like, God, are you going to come through for me? What's the gap that you're facing in your life today? Today, we're going to talk about the tension we feel when we find ourselves in this very gap. You know where we are and where we hope to be and want to be and what we need to be. You know, if I could speak for myself, you know, I come into a room like this with all of these beautiful, smiling Christian faces. Can I see them real quick? There they are. There they are. And I come into a place like this, and it's very easy for me, and I don't know how it is for you, but like to feel like, you know what? I'm the only one. I'm the only one that's experiencing a gap, a separation, some kind of lack where I'm just, God, I'm not sure you're going to come through for me. But it's easy to feel like you're alone in these type of things. But the truth is that you're not alone. Amen? You're not alone. This is actually a human experience to experience lack and to experience these gaps, this tension of not having. So many people in the Bible, right, have experienced the pain and the tension of a gap. And it seems sometimes, at least for me, like it seems like, you know, the only way forward is actually to step into that tension. And I'm like, no, God, but can I just go around it? Like, if it's a deeper dilemma and I don't want to have to face that lack, that brokenness in my life, that weakness, like, oh, can I just go around it? And like, I'm just going to come back around to it next year, you know, when taxes come up or or Christmas comes up, you know, these type of things, you know. But it seems at sometimes that there's moments where like God's like, hey, look, I'm corralling you in. Now is the time for change. Now is the time for transformation. Now is the time for healing and wholeness. Amen. God has a lot to say about this tension that we feel as human beings. One of my favorite heroes in the Bible is Moses. This photo, this moment. You guys, I love this. Moses, to me, he has one of the ultimate stories of living life in the tension of the gap. Now, what I love about this photo is that, you know, for me, like, what's that? This is an actual photo of the actual Moses, by the way. Yeah, that's him. That's how he looked. You know, it's easy for us, you know, when we imagine our heroes or someone like Moses, you know, we think of these peak moments. Like, this is the moment when he's like, they're about to cross the Red Sea. There's a miracle happening. The Red Sea is being split and like a ton of people are walking through it. It's easy for us to, this is what I think of when I think of Moses, is this very peak moment. But this moment, you know, he's got his cool hipster beard like blowing in the wind, right? His like muscular forearm and, you know, like he's got this face on him that's saying like, I got this. Like there is no tension in my life. But if we're not careful, I don't know how it is for you, but for me, if I'm not careful, I'll forget that this is only a snapshot. This is only part of the story, amen? This is only part of his story. When we see, you know, for me, like when I see myself and I see someone like Moses, I don't know, I can't help but kind of be discouraged or have a sense of doubt because I'm seeing this gap. I'm like, God, I want faith like that, but I don't yet, you know? And then there's this gap between. But what we don't think about is there are moments that led up to this moment. Amen? There are moments that led up to this moment. Today, I want to talk to us about the tension that Moses faced and how it could help us. How it can help me, how it can help you when we feel like we don't have what it takes. Are you ready for this? Yeah. Amen? Everyone say tension. Everyone say tension. Whisper it. How about that? Whisper it. Tension. Oh, yeah. There's tension in the room. Every great story has great tension. Would you agree? Like, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't pay money to go to a movie to watch a hero that just wins all of the time. We need tension, right? Like the fact that The Rock is trying to save his family in this movie. What is it called? I forget. Skyscraper. Yeah. What is it called? I don't know. The hero is always faced with a dilemma. The hero is always faced with this ache, this pain, this desire, and there's always something coming against him, right? But great stories have great tension. Tell the person next to you, you're in a great story. Do you have tension in your life? Real quick, do you have any tension in your life? Do you have any unmet miracles that you're waiting on God for? Come on, you have tension in your life. So I want to give a quick backstory on Moses real quick. And because honestly in this room, you know, a handful of us are believers, we're Christians, we've grown up in the church, we get this. We know where this is going. We know how this story plays out. We understand it. But I believe and I know that there's a handful of people in this room that are like, I don't really get this. Like, I don't know what Moses is about. So can I take a second real quick? Kind of give a quick backstory? So Moses was born to a Hebrew family, and their family is in Egypt, and this whole people group is the slave labor in Egypt. They're building the monuments. They're building all of these things. And Moses must have grown up knowing that he had purpose on his life, because what had happened was his mom had to give him up, had to surrender him to preserve his life. So what she does is she sticks her son Moses in this basket and floats him down the Nile River. You know, some of these type of stories, they never really hit home until it had a kid. And I'm like, dang, that would be so hard. That'd be like so difficult, right? And so she floats him down. He gets picked up and he's raised by an Egyptian family. Just happened to be, anybody know? Bible college question? Pharaoh's daughter? There we go. A couple of you. Yes, Pharaoh's daughter. So he grows up in this lifestyle, right? And he must have known that he had purpose on his life. Because there's this moment, there's this great moment where one of his people, you know, they're getting mistreated, they're getting abused by an Egyptian. And so he comes in, he comes rushing in, and he tries to make a difference and save the day. And he makes a difference, but he kills the Egyptian. And so he's like, oh, no. So he buries the Egyptian in sand, and he runs. He takes off. He runs for his life because, you know, Pharaoh's going to come after him. But it's in this place. Everyone say this place. It's in this place of tension, that God appears to him from a burning bush and begins to tell Moses of his plan to rescue the Hebrew people out of slavery. I just hear God saying, Moses, now it's time to make a difference. Amen? So real quick, Exodus 3, 9 through 12. This is God speaking. He says, it's time for you to go back. Everyone say, go back. It's time for you to go back. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the people of Israel, out of Egypt. Then Moses answers God, say it with me, but why me? But why me? Just put yourself in Moses' shoes for a second. I mean, his sandals. Put yourself in his sandals for a moment. Moses asks why. Moses asks why because he's saying, God, like, are you sure you got the right guy? Like, I'm hearing what you want to do, and I know where I am in my life. I'm literally on the run away from that place. Why would you have me go back? There's an incongruence of how your story is meeting up with my story. I don't understand. You must have the wrong guy. There maybe is another Moses. Try the other burning bush. Call him there. Maybe. But, like, check this out. God's saying, like, is that my phone? God's saying to Moses, like, he's inviting him into a new story. And so Moses is like, are you sure you got the right guy? You want me to be your voice? You want me to be God's voice? Look, I stutter. And he's telling God, he's like, you want me to help people start a new life and cause deliverance? I've taken life. He's like, I don't have a great track record. Have you seen? You want me to lead people? Look, I'm an outsider. They don't even like me. Yet God was calling him into the tension and into that gap, and it's for a reason. Amen? This is going somewhere, so stay with me. Turn a few pages later, and about three chapters later, Moses is still arguing with God. Gotta love that. That's human nature. But Moses says to God, look at me. I stutter. He's giving him the case again. Look at me. I stutter. Why would Pharaoh listen to me? I'm no hero. I'm not hero material. And this is where everything changes in Exodus 7. God's response is, God told Moses, look at me. Moses is saying, God, look at me. You can't use me. God's saying, no. Look at me. Look at me. If you can get your eyes up on God and realize what is impossible for man is possible for God. He's saying, I'm choosing you right in this moment, right now. I'm choosing you in your weakness. I'm choosing you as the disqualified self that you've... He's saying, I'm choosing you so that I can showcase my strength and our weakness is strong. Amen. Here's the lesson. God wants to show off his power through the most unlikely of heroes. He loves doing that. He loves it. Tell the person next to you, you're kind of unlikely. But God wants to use you. Come on, when we think about the word grace, this is really a picture of what's called divine empowerment, divine enablement. God is saying, Moses, I want to work through you. I don't want to just work through you. I want to work in you. Amen? And so when we often think about grace, we think about forgiveness. We think about amazing grace. We think about acceptance, and that is absolute. Like God saying, Moses, I accept you just where you are, right now in the center of your situation. I'm accepting you. But it's also a picture of, like I said, divine empowerment, divine enablement, where God's nature comes into human nature and he rises up to do something that only God can get the glory for. Amen? So when God shares his strength, his wisdom, his wealth, it's beyond our own means. It's God making up what's missing in us and more. Amen? That's what God is inviting Moses into. So fast forward. Can you put Moses back up on the screen real quick? Moses has been stepping out. This is much later in the book of Exodus. Moses has been stepping out in faith in a constant way. And God's leading him through all of these seasons and moments of tension. And what Moses is finding is that as Moses steps out, God steps in. As Moses steps out, God steps into the situation. As Moses says, okay, I'm surrendering. I'm going to step into this situation. God moves. Amen? So Moses is leading the people. He's finally led them out of Egypt, out of slavery. And this is a huge group. And Moses finds himself in another moment of tension. Their back is up against the wall at the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and all of his army is coming in hot. Feel the tension today. Like, I love that it's the people say, Moses, were there not enough cemeteries in Egypt? Why did you bring us out here to die? They must have been feeling this, like, all this for this? We're just going to die here? A moment of tension. So they're completely cornered. But I love what Moses does next. We see Moses sees the Red Sea. He sees what is keeping these people from their destiny. He sees the Red Sea, but he sees the other side. Amen? He sees the great gap. He sees the tension of the impossibilities. They're stuck. But he steps in and raises his hands above his head. Amen? Just like this. This is that moment. But this is really a sign of surrender. This right here. We sing, we lift our hands. If you're new to church, this may be an odd thing. But like, this is actually a posture of surrender. So when we're singing, songs, we're not just saying words that are meaningless. We're in this moment, we're saying, God, like, I surrender. God, I'm stepping in faith. I'm stepping out in faith and singing this song. But God, I need you to move, and I believe you are. When we sing, when we sing these songs, we're stepping into the tension. We're singing a truth, but we're still in the tension. Isn't that wild? So when we sing songs like, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You are good. Come on. Good. Oh, Lord, you are good. Hey, good. Oh, Lord, The lesson that we're learning in this place of surrender, what we're learning from Moses is as we step out in full surrender, even in our weakness, his divine empowerment comes rushing in. God steps in with a miracle. Does anybody need a miracle today? Come on. So it's easy to focus, at least for me, it's easy to focus on the areas in my life that are not lining up, where I'm like, God, there's some, I don't really see you moving in this situation yet. It's easy to focus on those things. There's actual real pain in those tensions. It's normal to have questions. I think someone just needs to hear that. Like, it's normal to have questions. It's normal to have doubt. And if I were Moses, honestly, if I were Moses, I'd be like, okay, God, we're having this face-to-face conversation. You know, we got the DM going right now. If you don't understand that, don't worry about it. God, we got this direct line. We're communicating. I would have just asked God to remove all the tension. Like, God, you know, you're going to split the sea like later, but can you just like heal this stutter that I got going? I would feel so much better about leading people if I didn't have to stutter. You know, if God, if you could just wipe all of their memory, wipe the debt of the murder that I committed. God, can you just like remove all the people that don't like me where I'm about to go in and, you know, have leadership? God, can you remove my doubt? And how often do we pray these things, right? Like, God, can you just change all of it for me real quick? Can you change the situation? At least I do. But today, I want to tell you that there is grace in the gap. Come on, there's pain in the gap. There's questions and doubt in the gap. But there is also grace in the gap. Come on, how many of you guys are excited and thankful that there's grace in the gap? Come on. Scripture says that the eyes of the Lord search the whole world to find those whose hearts are fully devoted, fully surrendered, so that, for a purpose, so that he can show himself strong on their behalf. Amen? This is the place. Where's your Red Sea? What's your Red Sea? This is the place in the middle of our biggest questions, in the middle of the things that we're missing. God wants to meet you there. God wants to transform you for his glory in the middle of it all. So, I said this, but the greatest stories have great tension. If you got tension in your life, God's inviting you into a place of transformation and surrender. Amen? Requires us to have a heart of surrender. You know, something else that requires tension is bridges. You guys love bridges? How many of you love the Golden Gate Bridge? I love, love, love the Golden Gate Bridge. Bridges require tension, right? And I want to leave you with this picture. You can throw it up, Jess. Can you imagine what it was like before the bridge? Can you imagine the bay before the Golden Gate Bridge? It looks like this. This is pretty wild, right? I can't imagine. What people would have to do is, you know, people in the city, you know, San Francisco is already bustling. It was already, you know, had so many people. And, you know, because there's so many people, people are having babies. You know what I'm saying? And so they're like, look, we miss being on the farm. Like, we got to get out of the city. I don't think much has changed, actually. I hear a lot of people that live in the city. They're like, I just got to get out of the city for a little bit. So what would happen is they would actually wait in line. I was watching a documentary. They said 6 to 10 hours just to get on a ferry boat to cross over into Marin. Isn't that crazy? Get there, have lunch, and then get in line to jump on a ferry to come back. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that was some desperation. And, you know, if that wasn't enough, because there's so many more ferries that were going. I think we have only a few now, but, like, there's so many going. It was just going all through the day. And if that wasn't enough, they would have to make the drive around the bay. So from San Francisco, trying to get all the way back to, you know, something like Sausalito, just to have that moment there, right? Just to have that picnic. And how, like, that's a pretty long drive. Would you agree? That's a pretty long drive without the bridge. You know, and the Golden Gate didn't just get people from point A to point B. To me, it actually transformed the Bay Area. To me, it became like such a marvel and a wonder. Where, you know, I think it's like millions of people come every year just to see it, just to experience it, just to be there. And just like the bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge, God's heart is not just set on taking you from point A, where you are, to point B, to the other side. God's heart is set on transformation of your life in between. Amen? God's heart is set on you getting wholeness in your life. That connection, that breakdown that's missing there. God's heart is set on transformation of your heart. So here's the thing, though. Here's, for me, the tension. God will not force us into transformation. God will not force us into wholeness. He won't force wholeness on you. It's an invitation, amen? It may seem like he keeps bringing you back around to the waterfront. Come on, what's your Red Sea today? It may seem that he keeps bringing you there, but again, it's like you have the choice. Oh, like maybe I'll just go the long way around to get to my purpose. Like, I really don't want to have to deal with that, whatever that thing is. Like, but God is inviting you. He's inviting me. He's inviting us to a place of surrender. What's your Red Sea? What are the gaps you're facing? I'm closing now, okay? I want you to know this. We all have gaps. We all have gaps. We all have places where we hope to be, people that we want to be, areas we need to grow, brokenness that we need to have healing for. But today I want to tell you that there is grace in the gap. Amen? And we're called to be a marvel in our world. We're called, our wholeness, we're called to be a marvel in our world. And today I want you to feel the sense of personal responsibility, because we have a part to play, right? Like, God, again, like, God is not going to force you into wholeness. Like, we have a part to play, and it's simply surrender. It's simply surrender. We forfeit the transformation that God has called us into by simply avoiding. What you avoid remains a void. Got that? I forgot to make a slide about that. But what you avoid remains a void. Brokenness. Imagine real quick with me what our community would look like if our biggest weaknesses were turned to our biggest strengths. Amen? Because of God's grace. Imagine if your insecurities and your fears were turned to faith. Come on. You know, what would our how would our community be transformed here? And dads, imagine what our life would look like. Imagine the legacy that we would leave. Imagine the legacy that we could leave if we press into wholeness, if we press into surrender. Worship team can come up. I have one thing I want to do while we close here today. You guys want to stand on your feet? Has this been helpful at all to you guys? Thank you. So the last thing we need to do is surrender. Can we do this real quick? I want to practice surrender. And what does this actually look like? What does this actually look like to surrender? You know, we see Moses, his hands are above his head. We're going to do that. We're going to actually connect our physical being and our heart posture to represent what's actually happening. Surrender. You know, I find myself saying this one statement over and over with our daughter Aurora, who's starting to like walk around now. She's like walking around and picking things up and like, can I eat this? You know, there's so many moments where I'm like, no, no, like, don't. Like, I'll run over to her, and I say, give it to Dad. Give it to Dad. Because she has no idea. It could be a blueberry today, but tomorrow it may be poop. You know? And so as a dad, I want to get her really good at giving it to Dad. Amen? And I feel like that's what God is inviting us into today. God is just saying, he's kneeling down right next to you. Your situation, whatever you're carrying, he's saying, hey, that gap that you're feeling, that self-hatred that you're pouring into it, give it to Dad. Give it to Dad. Surrender right now in this moment, right here. So why don't we just close our eyes for a moment? Nobody's looking around. This is between you and God. What does surrender look like? Just put your hands out in front of you. Just put your hands out in front of you. Okay? This is just a posture of giving it to God. What is the thing for you? What's your Red Sea? What's too big for you to be carrying? What's weighing you down? What's making you question faith? What's making you question your value? What's making you feel inadequate? What are you worried about the most? I want you to do this. I want you to visualize it. Your eyes are still shut. I want you to visualize this thing. Okay? It may not look like what it actually is, but I think there's a picture that God wants to give you, okay? What does it look like? It's gonna look like something. God's speaking to you. It may feel weird or crazy, but that's what it is right there. He just spoke to you. What's your Red Sea look like? Now, picture Jesus standing right in front of you, okay? Right in front of you. Jesus is in the room. Come on, just whisper this to him. Jesus, I trust you. I trust you with this. I trust you with what I'm carrying. I trust you with this gap, all of my questions, this tension that I'm feeling. Just tell him you trust him.